You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
February the 4th, 2018. Just make sure all the buttons are pressed in the right place. Good evening, this is Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, the alternative Sunday service this evening, beginning with Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks. How are you doing, Simon?
Hello, JP. Hello to all the audience. I'm fine, thank you. For our American listeners and anywhere else, we are expecting snow this week, so we thought we'd had our winter over with and we were going to have a nice run into the summer weather. Well, nope, looks like we've got cold weather. So where you are, JP, in Scotland, it's probably going to be really cold.
Yeah, so they say it's supposed to be getting it seems supposed to be getting a little chilly. It's all right at the moment. It's nice, but it can change at any minute.
This is what we do on Connecting Conscious. We follow the British line and we talk about the weather. Absolutely. We're going to be running English courses for our American cousins,
right,
so they understand how to get along in Britain.
English 101, as the Americans would say, would be talking about the weather is a way of so that people don't kill each other. Isn't the weather nice? Yes. Isn't the weather nice? Well, we can agree on that at least. Don't bring up any deeper subjects, you know.
That's as far as I'll go off topic. Let's go on. Right. I wanted to say Planet X or Nibiru has been growing in the news greatly. Not just sort of where you'd expect to pick it up, but on the peripheries as well. And there are a number of really silly websites now sort of saying that, it's going to hit the planet, we're all going to be killed, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess regular listeners, will know my point of view on this, that I've always said that Planet X exists. Nibiru does exist, but that it is not going to strike the planet. Now, it's very interesting that there is some talk about possibly something in March, which isn't very far away at all. And this isn't my prediction. This is some predictions that people are making, that there may be something visible in the sky around about March time. And some other predictions that something will come within 4 million miles of the Earth. Now, for somebody who walks not very far, 4 million miles seems a tremendously long period distance, but actually it's not. So if anything were to come within simply 4 million miles, it certainly would cause a bit of havoc on the Earth. I think that in history, Nibiru has come past at varying degrees and has caused perhaps ice ages to end and to melt and floods and some earthquakes. But I'm very clear that Planet X is not going to strike the Earth. I've always said that it will come past at some point and there will be effects to the planet, but we're all going to wake up the next morning. So I just wanted to give my point back into that. And I want to talk about the Dow Jones. Over the last few days, it's lost 665 points. That's an incredible amount. This is down to the stocks that you would have thought doing well, such as pharmaceuticals and the tech stocks. Someone's got panicky on that and pulled a plug. So we've seen the Dow Jones drop quite substantially. Let's watch what happens next week. If it continues to fall like this, it will start an irrevocable collapse in the markets. We led to believe that there was an inbuilt clock that would bring the Dow Jones crashing down when it reached the mark of 30,000. It was on 26,000, 27,000. I've always said that was 30,000 was far too high. If it was going to be brought down, then nobody would wait for it to reach 30,000. It's probably impossible for it to get to 30,000. I do think that this crash is not the big one. I think it's a mirror of what's to come, but please, even if you're not that interested in the stock exchange, just have a look at the Dow Jones and see what's happened the last 3 or 4 days. All right, move on to the Trump memo. I know that President Trump tweeted on Friday. I'm in two minds about this because very clearly the memo does say quite truthfully that the investigation into President Trump was part paid for by the opposition, the Democrats. Now, I don't know about the United States. In this country, that's totally illegal. You can't have an investigation into one person, and the guys who are against you fund it. Because when that goes to court, it is shown that that investigation was biased from the very beginning. So that really has sort of put an end, frankly, to the Democrats or the anti-Trump from that perspective. It really has finished it. The problem we have is that any president needs to work with his or her, let's be very hopeful one day, FBI. You know, the Hoover building contains some of the most decent people of any of the secret or police services. The ongoing battle at the moment between Trump and just literally three people in the FBI looks like it can only be resolved with people being sacked, and it won't be the president. This is awful because what it's doing is it's taking the attention away from the job that the FBI should do. The FBI do not go after spies. That's not their job. The FBI go after, supposedly, after organized crime, corruption. And the reason that the FBI are asked to investigate things of a political nature is because the CIA and the NSA are so far removed from the system that they are seen as, you know, quasi-government. So the FBI is always going to be needed. Think about JFK. Think about when we had the race riots. Think about how JFK used state police and FBI agents to try to keep control when some of the white guys were going berserk. So my message to Trump is that you've done the bit now. Why not sit round the table and try and get these people to work with you? You do need the FBI. Talk about cryptocurrencies. I do try and listen to as much that Kerry Cassidy puts out. Made no secret of the fact that I consider Kerry Cassidy an absolutely, truly wonderful researcher. She's a much better researcher than I am. And she's uncorruptible. She really gives everything to it. So I try and listen whenever possible. And she was doing an interview with Miles Johnson. And she was asking Miles, literally about, cryptocurrencies. And was there a potential for artificial intelligence to reside within cryptocurrencies? At which point, you know, I immediately woke up and sort of shouted out, you know, absolutely there is. And I've always talked, and our listeners will know, I've talked about the Babylonian spell placed on money. But what the little interview didn't come out on that point was how 5G relates to cryptocurrencies. Prior to that, Kerry's asked me to just go on and do a little interview with her this Tuesday. So I guess it'll be live. So if anybody's got some time, they can listen to Project Camelot. Kerry and I will be having a chat on Tuesday. So that was interesting that questions now are being asked about cryptocurrencies and what the big deal is here. I want to talk about Elon Musk. This is a guy that wasn't put under house arrest. Elon Musk has done some very much reported tweets on aliens, and I did have a look at the tweets, and they're not anything really exciting. Elon Musk did actually put a tweet out saying that it was not true. He was not building a rocket to take him back to his home planet of Mars. Elon Musk knows the truth. Absolutely. There was another tweet where in the exchange someone had written about reptilians, and when he tweeted in reply sort of that, he said absolutely. So we know that he knows, but he's not going to be so stupid as to actually publicly put anything out there. So when these people are getting excited about tweets from him, look, he's just playing the game. He's just being very careful. I wanted to talk about what's happening to the wealthy on the planet. They are getting out of the traditional businesses. people who have done the circuit, multi-billionaires, put their money in what they believe to be right, steady as she goes, safe, are all jumping ship. Now, they're actually moving into cryptocurrencies, blockchain, but not the actual buying and selling of the coins, but in the operating of them, on the predicting. There's a huge market now opening up where people are setting themselves up to predict what such and such a crypto will do tomorrow or the day after. And people will pay for that service. So there are some very big wealthy people moving into that and dropping their own businesses. Richard Branson, one of them. Elon Musk, one of them. And there are others as well. I think that's important to realize that the energy field on this planet is shifting for the better, in the sense that people who have always enjoyed wealth, always enjoyed the position of power that brings them, are very twitchy, looking over their shoulder and thinking, maybe I need to get away from these organizations that have got bad reputation, like pharmaceuticals, for instance, and maybe I need to go to something that's new, technology-wise. Let's talk about technology. There really is a move now to get some of this technology out of Antarctica, through to the corporations and out. And I was chatting with someone the other day and said, look, think back. They were too young to remember 1947, as was I, but to the research or to the papers that are genuine, think back to when in 1947, an alien spacecraft, at least one, probably two, crashed. We know that that was a deliberate crash, but that's not my point today. And from that, some very interesting technology was got out. At the time, they guessed what it was, but they had no clue what to do with it. Remember that from 1880, yeah, I'll say that again, from 1880 until 1947, what the Americans call the tube, or we call the valve, was the only means of making things like a radio work, early television. You think about the war films that you see and the real documentaries where the Americans and the British are carrying radios on their backs, which are about the size of a house, huge. They had to be that because they had valves in them, and the heat from those valves was intense. Well, within 6 months of that crash in 1947, Bell Labs in the US declared that they'd made what we now know to be the transistor. It was called actually the Shockley diode. Shockley was the guy who was in charge of two, team of three who were working on it. But what they learned a big lesson from that was you can't go to the public and say, we've got nothing. And then 6 months later, oh, we've got this. You could do it then because in 1947, people weren't savvy as they are now. People would ask a lot of questions. Where the heck did that come from? You know, that's really fantastic. So I wanted to be clear, because some people are talking about this technology coming out of Antarctica and being released. What my understanding is that the technology is going to come out of Antarctica and at this stage will be kept. That's no surprise. But the technology from Antarctica is incredibly ancient. It's very ancient tech. You know, the Americans have a fantastic series which they used to call Ancient Aliens. This is ancient tech. But that technology, although from an Earth perspective, is very, very old, some of that technology is more advanced than the technology that the Greys gave America in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, etc. It is that technology that the Greys gave that is going to be released to the corporations, and the Antarctica tech is going to be held for about 6 months while Trump and others decide how in the heck they're going to push this out without causing too much of a hoo-ha. So there is going to be a kickback from the technology from Antarctica, but it won't in the first stage be Antarctican technology. It will be technology that predominantly the US has been sitting on for 40 plus years. So that's got to be exciting, because that is the way out of any recession. That is the way out of any crash. Wonderful technology that can do great things, providing that the corporations don't have a stranglehold over it, and providing that it is affordable to all. So those are the caveats that I think Connecting Consciousness would be campaigning on when that time comes. Talk about the Healing Center. I always said that the Healing Center would be sometime this year. I didn't, you know, give a day or a time. People are getting very excited, and so you should. It's going to be exciting. But there are some difficulties drawing the money out. The money's, don't want to give anything too much away. The money's in an offshore account. There are huge formalities. So there will be a delay, but it is going to happen, and it will happen this year, 2018. So my plans are still on, but, you know, I'm not going to be looking for a property tomorrow. But other than that, I'm very positive. So that's our news. That's where we are so far. So I'm very happy to move on and take some questions, JP.
Great. So, the first question. Why do I sound? I sound kind of weird in my headphones. Some reason. Let's turn them up. Let's start this up. Yeah. Okay. This question from Nancy. U.S. military bases in South Korea. Question: what is the real purpose of U.S. military bases in South Korea? To offer military personnel for experimentation, or as offerings to night kidnappings for ED uses? While I was stationed there, 2014-2015. I noticed that too many times a mass of us woke up dazed, confused, and sore.
Right. It happens far more off the US soil. There are too many American newspapers, too many local radio stations for servicemen and women to go to. So these sort of what we would call mass abductions take place off American soil. Actually, they also take place on aircraft carriers. That's something else to ponder on. But let's talk about the question that's been put here. First of all, if you are a serving man or woman in any military, you have signed a form of, you know, secret document which says that you will not disclose any information that could be helpful to the enemy. And because you are a serving man or woman, they'll take that very seriously, in the sense that you have willingly signed an agreement and you are in a position to do the national government harm. So they will come down very heavily on you, knowing that the legal system will back them up 100%. So what would you do? Would you, if you wanted a mass experiment, would you take 20 or 30 people all over a 100-mile radius? Or would you say, hey, we've got 20 people or 30 people in this confined space, all have signed the secret documents. They can't go talking about it. So we've got sort of guinea pigs, if you like, who aren't going to do anything about it. So it's a common just about everywhere. American bases in Australia, it takes place. Less so in Europe. Simply because English is the language. You go out on the street, people will speak English, even in Germany and France. People will have English, and things can get out. So it tends to be where the military is very segregated from the public. So I would be interested to learn more. I appreciate that the questioner isn't going to be too open and public about things, because when you leave the military, your vow of silence doesn't end. It's basically you've signed it until you die, that your physical body dies. That's the way it works. But I would suggest that some, in a mass abduction, some people will have some memories, some will have scratches, some could have radiation burns, some could have powder burns. It is not unusual to find military personnel, either from the US or the British, abducted by their own side, non-alien, and placed in a combat situation with aliens. So predominantly greys, but not exclusively so. So in other words, they want to see how certain weapons perform, how humans perform. They want to look at night vision, telepathic stuff. And would not be the first time that a group of military men and women have found themselves taken 2 o'clock in the morning, excuse me, and find themselves on a mountaintop, not fighting someone from Afghanistan, but actually fighting small little things that are about 3 feet tall at about 100 yards away from them, firing plasma weapons or energy weapons of some sort. Then on the other hand, it could simply just be an experiment, and say a genetic experiment. So I'm sorry to tell you that it's common. It happens a lot, but it very rarely happens to bases in the US. So what you and your comrades you experienced was real, genuine, and frankly, it's got to stop. So thank you for having the strength and courage to write in to me. I can confirm what you believe.
That really touched something there, and it was about when you said signing, because he signed up to serve. He didn't sign up to be abused. And yeah. I think there's a big betrayal. I think, you know, or anybody who signs up for the military doesn't sign up to be abused. They're doing it out of, you know, the goodness of their heart.
Mm.
And that's used as an excuse. Well, you signed up for it, you know.
Mm.
So, that kind of triggered me a bit. So let's move on. All right. So, here's a question from, from Garden of Eve. Lovely. Oh, so it's Roman from Russia. Hi, Simon and JP. Simon, could you tell us about the origin and connection of humans' blood types and Rh factors to genetic experiments done to us by aliens?
Oh, right.
What do all groups and factors show, and how did they appear? Yeah, I've always wondered, you know, what's the whole rhesus and, yeah.
Mm. Well, first of all, our physical bodies, I suppose 99.9% of us, and I include myself in this, are human. There are a small percentage of the elite, rich and famous who don't have very much human in them at all. And they have come from the stock of the earth. Creatures that millions of years ago were very ape-like that actually lived on this planet, just as the paleontologists and the zoologists and all the rest of it tell us that this was life on Earth. Because if you were coming here and you would say, I can't do much with an ant. These dolphins are really clever, but unfortunately they don't walk on land. What am I left with? Oh, look at these things swinging in the trees. Oh, they've got 5 digits on each hand. And they've got arms and legs. They look a bit like us. They've got 2 eyes. We'll have a go at this. And so it wasn't just one group of space marauding aliens that arrived here and did it. There were several groups over hundreds of thousands of years. And sometimes there was something like 75 to 125,000 years between each upgrade. And if you were to get hold of some of those very old videos to see them measuring the capacity, cranial capacity of a primitive stone age person's brain by pouring glass beads into it, you would see that it jumps quite quickly from a fossil record. It is impossibly fast. You know, some of the jumps in the size of the brain and therefore in the skull, therefore we assume the brain was getting bigger. It's just not physically possible for something to develop and grow as complex as the brain as quickly as they've said. So if we accept that there has been a marked determination to alter the primates on this planet to create, you know, who we are today, then we would have to understand that they would be looking at the blood of those creatures. We call it rhesus negative because it's very much like the rhesus negative monkey. Now, I have a personal communication where I was told that the reason that certain people carry this is because it marks them as having had strong, 2 things here, strong alien interaction and B, a very long lineage, the soul incarnating in lots of different bodies, right back to what we would call Anunnaki and beyond. So if you look at O's and A's, there is what we call an older human blood type and a younger human blood type, because, you know, Darwin wasn't completely mad. There is evolution. you know, and the fittest do tend to survive, especially in a culture where, you know, the weaker people are not looked after. So nevertheless, there is an evolution, but some of the changes that we've seen cannot be explained by evolution. So the rhesus blood is a blood that was introduced. It was already on the planet, but it was introduced and genetically altered so that it would work with human organs, human brain, and be indistinguishable by the body in terms of accepting it. In other words, you can't put the wrong blood type into a body. You have to have it so it's correct. So what they tended to do then in the early days of manipulation was they would say, all right, this is a soul from something or somebody that's had a long history off this planet, and they've now incarnated here. We really want to keep an eye on this person, so we're going to give them this body, and they are always going to incarnate in a body with Rh negative blood, or one of their parents will have it. Now, in my own case, my mother was Rh negative, and my father was Rh positive. So it's not about necessarily you, it's the family line, that connection line. Gotta be very careful, because it doesn't mean that people with Rh negative blood are better than anyone else or worse. It means that it's yet another blasted label stuck on people by something off this planet to flag them up, to be easily detectable, to mark them out as being different in their eyes. You know, if you meet someone in the street, you don't know what blood group they are. And it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter to you. It's of no importance. And that's exactly why they do it. Because on a day-to-day basis, we're not detecting that. Now, eye color is different. We can look at somebody's eyes and we can see that. So there are traits that a human body will have which give the game away. So that is why doctors generally are so damn difficult. You know, I know cases where people have gone to a blood bank because there's been a nasty accident and they put a call out for blood. So they'll go and give blood, and then they'll ask the nurse, oh, well, what blood group am I? And they actually will generally turn around and say, I'm not allowed to tell you. This is your blood. You know, it came out of my body. You're telling me. You won't tell me. I mean, they won't tell me. I've asked and they said there's no record. What do you mean there's no record? It must be a record of me. But there isn't, apparently. Gonna go off topic here, but it's like when I decided I was going to be a driving instructor, what the Americans call a driving teacher. And you have to have a different driving license. You've got to go through quite a stringent training program, and that's right, didn't have a problem with that, which I passed, thankfully. And I remember the person saying to me, this is what we call the DVLA, it's the Driving Standards Agency that oversees everything to do with driving in Great Britain. And the person said to me, we don't have a record of you. It's a bit like not telling me what my blood group is. And I remember saying, what do you mean you don't have a record of me? And the woman, quite honest and upfront, said, well, when I put your name into the computer, all that's coming out is where you live now. Said, as far as I'm concerned, you could have arrived in this country yesterday. So I said, well, you know, what about, I've been to hospital, had operations, you know, and nothing serious, but I've had them. I've had a doctor's appointments. Well, that doesn't show here. So she said to me, can you tell me which school you went to? So I told her the schools I went to and the names of the principals. And then a week later, she came back and said, I've got no record of you. So when somebody is saying to you, we're not going to give you information, it's probably because there's something about your blood that's very interesting to them. And if you are a person who gives blood and you suddenly get lots of letters or texts saying, come back in and give you blood, it's obviously something special about it. If they don't bother, you give it once and they don't bother you again, it's obviously something they're not interested in. So the blood is absolutely crucial. Think about a number of churches where you're supposed to drink the blood of Christ. It's obviously a red wine or something like that, coloured water, but drinking the blood of Christ. So throughout all of the evil set and all of the magical world, the blood is something that's very, very important and is drawn in history. So it's a really good question. It cuts to the root of what we call bloodline, the bloodlines, and it's how society was established a very long time ago. So it's a good question. Thank you.
A really, really interesting answer, Simon. Thank you. I mean, I love that insight about the, we need something that's as clever as a dolphin and has hands like a monkey. You know, when you look at things like that, you think, yeah, of course. So it's only the indigenous were dolphins indigenous to the planet?
No, they weren't. They came from Sirius.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing soul readings with people, and by the way, I know that the website's not taking any more bookings. It's only just for a temporary because we got a bit caught up with a new computer system and it's giving us problems. So if you are trying to book with me, just give it a couple of weeks and it'll come back on again. Right. So when I'm doing soul readings, somebody will say, oh, I must be Palladian, and they'll talk about how they love water. And in most cases they are, but in many cases actually, on the interesting ones, they're not. But they have been in Cyrus or Sirius because there is a water world in Sirius. And when this planet on Earth was stocked, and it was actually stocked, a lot of the terraformer stuff here was not natural, didn't evolve naturally. It was brought here. And the nearest you'll ever get any scientists saying is that when a meteorite from Mars struck Earth, probably bacteria from that got them, and they've accepted that now, that some of the bacteria on Earth is actually from Mars, from meteorite strikes. So that's as far as they'll go at the moment. But the reality is that this planet was terraformed from a number of areas, but dolphins did not originate here. That is why they're so different, and that is why when an individual, a genuine contactee or abductee, when he or she says to you, my goodness me, the skin of a dolphin is like that of a grey. Now, lots of different greys, but some greys. It's not that dolphins are greys. That's not my point. My point is that some of the greys actually have to be immersed in fluid. And the skin of a dolphin is not something that we'd naturally have here. So dolphins were brought here. And of course, when Palladian people were here on the planet and their physical body died, but they couldn't escape the grid, and the ape people here at the time did not have a suitably high enough vibration to take a fifth dimensional Palladian soul, the only thing on the planet that could sustain them was dolphins and whales. So these souls had to incarnate in a dolphin or a whale for hundreds of thousands of years, until the last genetic upload, which was 250,000 years ago, the true Adam and Eve, suddenly human vibrational frequency was capable of taking a fifth dimensional soul. So not all, but many of the Palladians that were in dolphins and whales incarnated into human bodies. That is why nearly all Palladians will love the ocean or the rivers, have a great affinity for porpoises, dolphins and whales. So that's just a little bit there.
Another fascinating piece of our history from the inside. Excellent, Simon. Thank you. Now, here we go. Past life. Oh, right. Okay, so Nuk Choris always sends us lots of questions, so I'm just going to get... here's another mark for you. Okay. So let me just read this and scratch marks or sigils. Dear Simon, almost every time I get scratch marks, this specific mark appears on my body.
Right.
Could you tell me what this mark means? Okay, let me just see if I can bring it up and then share my screen so you can see it.
Oh, okay. All right.
That should be the quickest way of doing that.
Right.
And plus and share screens and that one, and can I do full screen on this? Right. Can you see this?
Yes, I can. But the person appears to have drawn black lines on the skin. What's that for? Oh, I see.
That's
I
to
see
demonstrate
the,
top. The
right. I've got you. That's the ones at the top. Right. Well, this is not dissimilar from ones that I've seen before, and we had a question on this. Okay. Right. Thank you. That's really helpful. I've seen the picture. Get rid of that. Right. Well, first of all, that's not a reptilian scratch. So that's not the reptilians. It's not a grey. It to me, it's torture. And it looks like it's been mechanically applied. So you would take a piece of wood and you would just put three little tacks and nails in there, and you'd have a little wooden handle and you just drag that along the skin, because the scratches look like a cat. They're literally thin like that, but no cat, and I'm a man of cats, so I know no cat could scratch in that line. That is somebody who is either obviously taken it and brought it down the body. Now, why would you do that? You would do it if you were trying to torture somebody. You'd also try to do it, not torture in terms of pain, but to get to their mind. So play mind games. When a person wakes up in the morning and sees that is quite disturbing. Doesn't look to me they've been hit by a whip or anything like that. My money is on a piece of wood with two or three nails in it that's been dragged down over the skin. The pain it would produce would be minimal. Obviously it would hurt, but it's minimal. It's more to do with you finding it in the morning and all of the mental confusion that would bring. So that's what I see with that. There is no, to my knowledge, there is no alien creature that has claws as thin as a nail or a pin or a tack. That's what we're looking at there. So somebody is abducting the individual and doing that at night time. The possibility that the person's doing it to themselves that doesn't really come into my mind. You know, you wouldn't do that. Why would you scratch yourself like that? So that's my answer to you. But it's not reptilians, I can assure you. They have claws, but they're much wider than that. That's a pinprick. That's a tack or a nail. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon. This is from Austin. Hi, JP and Simon. What is the truth behind climate change? Is the Earth really warming, or are we headed for a mini ice age? Is it the sun? The magnetic field? Well, you know, any insight would be helpful. Being a resident of Canada, this is of particular importance to me. Okay. Thank you from Austin.
Right, well, in the early to mid-1970s, most British scientists, quite rightly, were predicting an ice age. In, I think, 1973, all the data coming in was looking as if there would be a swing back to some very, very cold weather. Think back, it was sort of 400 years ago, 400 to 200 years ago, that we had what we call in Great Britain frost fairs, where our major river in Great Britain, the Thames, froze over, and they would actually put tents up and ice skating and dancing. That's how cold it was. And as a young boy, in 1963, I can remember part of the sea at Brighton freezing up, the ocean actually freezing up. We've not seen those since. And the reason for that is that the principal light star, the sun, has upped its frequency, because we were always destined to go through a change, 2012, but it happened before then. But 2012 was the moment of breaking through, had increased its energy, not the amount of heat the sun produced, let's forget it, let's get away from that, but the frequency of light that it produced. And this frequency suddenly had an effect, not just on the human body, but on the planet itself. and not just the Earth, but everything in the solar system. So all of the planets in the solar system started to heat up, and NASA has known this for some 20 years. However, they needed to disguise this because these people are liars. They couldn't have the truth out there, because if you give someone an element of truth, they want to have more. And it's a bit like chocolate, isn't it? When you have a bit of chocolate, you want a bit more. So the bad guys say, don't give them any chocolate, and they won't ask for any. So they had to come up with a point about it. Now, the original George Bush, I don't mean the original George Bush Bush, but I mean the George Bush Senior, came out and said that the global warming, from the scientist's point of view, was nonsense. In other words, he was talking about CO2 emissions, burning coal, etc., absolute nonsense. And he was right, absolutely right. The very next day, he'd made a statement saying, oh, global warming was real, because someone had a word with him and said, no, you can't say that, Mr. President, this is the line. The fact of the matter is that the global warming is part of a planet's natural ascendancy to the next level of its existence. The planet has a covenant with us. Doesn't need a covenant with the animals, because their consciousness is not at a high enough level for them to be allowed to sit down and make a legal declaration. Human consciousness, because of the manipulation 250,000 years ago, means that human beings now are considered adult. And goodness knows, I know most of them are not, because they've got nuclear bombs and they don't know what to do with them. But what I mean is, in terms of your ability to know right from wrong, and your ability to make decisions that you should know have impact on others. So the human race was considered to be adult. And in the early days of the human race loved the planet. It worshipped the planet, but that's not my point. It understood the planet, it cared for the planet, it gave thanks to the planet. And the Earth, thank God, never forgot that. So now, when all the evil, nasty people are doing what they do to the planet won't go back on itself, because it made a covenant with the human race. The Earth is a living creature, and we are like fleas on the back of this living creature. The planet could flip its poles, north become south, south become north, and throw half of the fleas off it. It could have the most huge violent eruptions and smother half the planet. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do it because it actually loves the human race. This is really important that people understand. That's why, you know, shamanic journeying is so important. That's why, you know, the native Red Indians, God bless them, half of them, three quarters of them wiped out. It's why indigenous people in New Zealand and Australia and other countries have this strong connection, and, you know, the system laughs at them because they are seen as technologically backward, and they are. But they're spiritually advanced. And it's that which maintains the link between all of us living in the cities and the Earth. No wonder the evil people wanted to exterminate and destroy all these indigenous communities, because they wished to break the connection between the planet and the people, and then just give everyone cell phones, iPads, etc. Well, thankfully that's not going to happen, but that's the point. And the point is that the connection with the Earth is really important. My answer.
Thank you. Okay, so another question about blood. When a child is born, a significant blood sample is drawn from the body of the newborn. The sample is then taken to somewhere. What are the real reasons behind this? Is the cabal looking for the increasing number of DNA strands in newborns and their soul lineage? Do the Satanists then also drink this blood? Thanks for all your help. Andrew.
Right. It wasn't always so. It's only been in the last few years that they've started to do that. And they don't do it with everybody. It's unusual, but not uncommon for men in black to turn up at a hospital and say, I want a list of all the children born between 2 o'clock this morning and 2:30. or between 4 in the afternoon and 5 in the afternoon. That does happen. And they will have some official document on them, which means the hospital, you know, acquiesce and do what they want. Let's be positive. First of all, if the birth has been difficult, they want to see how much oxygen is in the blood. I'm not a medical man. I've never pretended to be, but there are probably some very good reasons why you would want a blood sample from a child that's been born if the birth has been difficult or you suspect there may be issues or problems. However, I know that there are a number of occasions when that blood sample is taken because that family is already been checked on, been watched, and their own family before them has been checked on and watched, and they want to check and see what's been born, and they're not interested in fingerprints, but it is the it is not the strands of the DNA they're interested in. It's not the sole strands they want, it's the DNA. So they'll take a blood sample because that provides them with DNA that can be used in the third, but more importantly, in the fourth dimension. So they don't use fingerprints, they use DNA. And that is how they can psychically target somebody, by attacking their DNA. They, like a bloodhound, will smell, you know, for half a mile down a street, it gets the scent of something. Well, it is the DNA that allows psychic people to home in on an individual. I would say that in many cases, blood is taken from a hospital for good and positive reasons, but I believe there is a small percentage where it is not taken for good reasons. So, yeah, thank you.
Okie dokie, now where are we? Somebody says that we have some audio issues. Please be patient. Our scientists are working on it. So
that's the funniest thing you said all year.
Oh, I know, but it's only February. I recently had an experience. This is from Star Stuff. I recently had an experience with a woman at a train station. She sat down across from me and immediately started to talk to me about the clothes I was wearing. She then moved to talk on about DNA tests and finding out about ancestry. As she spoke, her arms became bright grass green, and it looked like a frequency graph going up and down her arms. Also, she spoke very quickly. I looked at my husband. His arms were not green. Everything was normal with him. She was sitting in the shade and no sun coming in. Do you have an explanation for the above occurrence?
Well,
green-skinned humans, talking of DNA.
Well, there's only one green-skinned being that I'm aware of, and that's a mantid, or a mantis. And I would laugh, except for the fact that one branch of the mantids or mantis are the finest physicians you'll find anywhere. And I've always said to people, for goodness sake, if you find yourself in the fourth dimension and you're going to call a doctor, don't, for goodness sake, call a grey. You want a mantid or a mantis. Let's take this apart a bit. It's not unusual for someone to sit next to you and start talking gibberish, but it's less unusual to have a in-depth conversation. It does happen, but it's unusual. So here we have someone starting to talk about the clothes you're wearing. So that's what we do say. Oh, isn't the weather a bit bad? So they're doing that to break the ice, to get you to accept them and to be okay. And then moving it into other subjects. I know that people can shapeshift. I know that entities can appear amongst us, and so do many other people, of course. And if this is not a trick of the light, you know, and if you weren't seeing a hologram, then what we can see is that something deliberately wanted you to see that it wasn't human. I would like very interested to see what your husband, if he saw that as well, and what his take on it was. If it's green, then it's got a lot of mantis genetics in it. Mantises are doctors, so they absolutely would talk about such things. It's what they do. One arm of them anyway is the physician side. You've been chosen. They don't just walk along a park bench or a railway station and think, oh, there's a likely looking person, let's have a chat with them. They plan it, they follow, they organize. Sometimes they have to wait weeks for the right energies to be there, for the right time, the right motion, and for them to have a clean sheet, worksheet that day. That's not any more important. So if somebody sat next to you and started talking, and let's rule out that it's just, you know, it could be coincidence, it just could have been one of those things, let's rule that out, then they were doing so because they had targeted you, they want to engage with you. And what's the best way to send you a message that they are who they are, and that is to shapeshift? Because they are sending you a message which will, you can't get rid of in your head. You even if you try to say, well, look, you know, that was just the trick of the light or this, that and the other, it will always come back to play on your mind. And that was what we would call is a presentation to you. They weren't really interested in what you thought, but they wanted to show you that they were there. And I would suggest that you have had a number of interactions with these things, specifically when you're a child. And what it might be very useful to do, I don't usually recommend this, but I think in your case, some some hypnotherapy, and see if you can get back any memories from childhood. I would be very interested if you would share those with me, because I think you will find that there's quite a strong connection between you and some of these off-planet entities. Lots of researchers don't like this sort of thing because the person's arms changed color, or this happened or that happened, and it happened at daytime. There are a number of researchers that are just into the, it was nighttime, I was in my bed, I got sleep paralysis, and the flying saucer landed, and then they got all these horrible things, and then they went away again. There are lots and lots of researchers who are trapped in that negative 1950s type style. Let's face it, these beings have the most incredible technology, and if they want to engage with any of us at any time of the day, they can do so. I've been in a situation where I've been on the street, and I've seen something obviously not Earth human, and everything in the street slow right down, literally into slow motion, all the cars, all the people, and the only three people moving on this busy street is me on one side of the sidewalk, walking in one direction, and then these two on the other side walking in the other direction, and everyone else was moving ever so slowly. And then I crossed over the road, followed them, and they started to run, but at a speed that was just not possible on this planet as we understand it. And then I got to a T junction on the end of the block, turned left, and they'd gone. And then whoosh, everything sped up. Not gently, really quickly, back to normal speed. So when people say they disregard any interactions that take place in the daytime, I'm sorry, they obviously haven't researched enough. So I think what you saw was deliberate, and I think that you have quite a history. So thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you.
And I think it's time for tea, don't you?
No, it's 5:02.
Oh, all right then. One more question. Oh, I was just going to get the kettle on.
Ah,
gasping, mate, gasping. Anyway, here's it. So when we ascend, this is from Kyle. When humanity reactivates the DNA strands and moves up the dimensions, for example, to the fifth dimension, will we be able to move back and forth through the dimensions like the third and fourth?
No. Why would you want to? Why would we? No, I'm not being rude. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. Having struggled for hundreds of thousands of years to pull ourselves out of a third dimensional existence that has been laced with fourth dimensional webs. When we break through and get to the fifth, hallelujah, the only reason we would want to come back is if you wanted to come and save somebody. That's the only reason you'd come back here. If there was something that was trapped or something that was lost, and you'd have to come back into a down a lower dimension to do that. We as a human race have suffered hellishly, and I'm using that word deliberately. We have suffered hellishly, and I believe the human race has proven itself worthy of advancement. I don't think it needs to do any more except it's got to believe in itself. It's got to fight oppression, fight Satanism, and just hold true. I think we've done enough. We've just got to see it through. Now, once we get through to the fifth, it will be like a huge sigh of relief. And I think that the only time we would come back is if we had to come back because something in time hadn't been fixed. So you might have to come back to do something to ensure that something in the future works through. You might have to come back because there is something that's been left behind. It could be an artifact, could be anything. Other than that, I don't recommend anybody comes back. We've been here, we've done it, we've worn the t-shirt. Let's go on and enjoy our cup of tea, which is about now, I think.
Okay, so we will turn the page with Bob Seger. And welcome back to Connecting Consciousness. I can't even say all right. Let me just readjust my lips one moment. Welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks, with your producer, JP. Hello. So, are you back?
I'm here.
Oh, fabulous. So, this is usually the time.
Yes, I'll do it. Sorry, I was already ahead of you there.
All right.
That's what tea does for you. I want to thank everyone who's been so kind in donating. It's been a real lifesaver, really. I want to thank Moit, Stefano, Huang, Glenn, Ludwig, Stefan, Natalie, Cherilyn, Richie, Candice, Ada, Neil, Davisa, Yang, Adam, John, Nan, Becky, Adrian, Rudolph, Fazian, Elizabeth, Christian, John, Louise, Alfred, Charlie, Shari, Arthur, Adana, Gunther, Christina, this is a lovely one, Hypnolux, Linda, Drumset, nearly finished, Cheryl, Robert, Manuel, Sheena, Watina, and Linda. That's, you know, and probably not everybody, but thank you, very kind. I have also actually been trying to message back to people on a personal level, just to say thank you very much, that it's much appreciated. But I will always do the radio one. It's just very important. So thank you once again. God bless you.
Thank you. And thank you for everybody who sends donations to All Spirit Radio and to me personally. Greetings, Simon and JP. Could you shed some light on the phenomenon of the moving religious statues in churches and at grottos that swept across Ireland in the summer of 1985? It was mostly the statue of Our Lady that moved, spoke, gave future predictions, but also various saints, etc. appeared. There were numerous sites across Ireland, but interestingly, only one or two across the border into Northern Ireland. Hundreds of thousands regularly visit these sites. There was a huge renewal of rosary recitations and mass attendance climbed. Could it have been some occult military exercises to plunge an awakening society back into fear and religious control? Sincere gratitude to you both for all your work, enlightening humanity. Orla.
Okay, that's the first time anyone's asked me that question. And actually we would think, oh God, it's not interesting because it's religion. It is actually interesting, because of what was behind it. I remember that wonderful TV soap opera called Father Ted, and I can just imagine Father Ted, getting Dougal, standing behind a plaster cast of Mary and pouring, you know, red orange juice through its eyes, so it was crying blood. Look, occasionally showmen take over and they'll do something because they'll up their numbers or they'll up their whatever it is. But I have to say that there's a point here that this didn't really make it into the north of the island. And the questioner is correct. There were a number of churches on the border between the north and the south that it also occurred in just across the border into the north. But the further into the north you got, it didn't happen. Now, the information that I have on this is that it was a genuine off-planet interaction. It wasn't God in the true sense of the word, to try to communicate with people through religion. So it wasn't there to program. It wasn't trying to give fear. It was trying to engage with people in a way that it thought people would respond. So a moving statue or a statue that cried, it was thought that that would be the way to open the hearts of the people. It didn't work because unfortunately people just fell on their knees and prayed to the Blessed Virgin and didn't then take it to the next stage, which was to question anything. They just accepted that, that the Virgin Mary had spoken to them or made herself known to them, and that's as far as it went. So it didn't actually work. Now what occurred on the back of that were a number of operations to attempt to see how you could manipulate people by using religion as the key. So it first started off as a genuine attempt by very well-meaning off-planet entities to try to engage and use religion. That didn't work, it backfired, but the effect they had was such that the bad guys could see it had mileage in it and so were able to use it. If Source, the real God, wanted to communicate with the people on this planet, it would not communicate in this modern age with the statue. Jesus actually said, and the God of the Old Testament actually said, they use different language, don't make idols, don't make statues. So Jesus actually gave a commandment, which is don't make statues. And what does the church go and do? Makes lots of statues. So what's going on there? Their number one man, or the number two man, of course, said don't do it, but they do it. And then the God of the Old Testament says don't make idols. So if Source wanted to communicate, it would not communicate through a statue. So we're talking non-Source, we're talking aliens, and we're talking one group from one side and one group from another. The other element that occurs, it's on about, I would suggest, between 5% and 10%, is poltergeist activity, where a young devotee goes up to the statue and they have created through trauma when they were younger a poltergeist, and that poltergeist connects with that statue and then can make the statue move. I don't think the poltergeist can make its eyes cry, but it could physically move the statue. So there are a number of paranormal activities that account for this. I'm familiar with what the person's talking about, but for me the interesting thing was that into the north of the island this thing didn't occur. It's quite interesting. Thank you for that.
I'd love to ask you a question about High Brazil, but this is connecting in with the island thing and Kerry and Miles were talking about is that area of High Brazil. I looked at it on Google Maps and zoomed in to the area, and what it looked like to me is that the surface of the planet was cracked, and there was a great big boulder there. There's a great big stone that looks like it's in a pit, like a crater under the water, and that's where it looks like the continental plates have been broken apart. So I'm wondering if that's one of the places that was hit by an asteroid in the Atlantean War. You know, there's a story of they arranged so a great big asteroid would fall out of the sky and break it up. Is that the thing?
One of the things prior to that was one of the strengths of the days of Atlantis was that the continents were much larger than they are today. And when you have a huge continent, what it does is it gives you stability of environment. Your environment tends to stay the same for millions of years. The smaller your landmass, the more it will move around the planet. And relatively speaking, the quicker it will move from a hot to a cold or a cold to a hot region. It's also more susceptible to volcanoes because if you're struck by a very large body, it will force mountains over time. It will create volcanoes. So one of the ways to destabilize a thriving technological society is to reduce its landmass and to send cracks and faults through it. So I would agree with that, yes.
Fascinating. So, back to the questions, and that's a great one. Here's one from Kmal455. Hello, Simon and JP. Please, can you tell us if there are any cures for diseases like cancer and HIV, as there are so many people dying unnecessary deaths, and yet you never hear of the royals dying of these illnesses. Once again, thank you for all your hard work. Kmal.
Well, there is, and there are, and there have been for quite a long time. We have to understand, you know, what cancer is. And things like even arthritis are a reaction to how we and our bodies perceive the situation and the energies around us. So sometimes diseases, I'm not saying they're brought on by ourselves, but depending on the frequency and the vibration and the way we are, has a great effect on the physical health of our body. Now, the elites know that. That's why they do what they do to us by spraying us and bombarding us and God knows what else. If we were to truly understand all the things the elites got up to, we would imagine them to have a load of diseases. But you're right. They don't get them, or if they get them, they're not reported. And the reason they're not reported is because there's no point in reporting them because they can cure it. You only report something when it's going to be fatal. You know, so if a member of the royal family had HIV, they won't need to report it because they will have a treatment for that. If we accept that AIDS was a genetically created disease in a laboratory designed to wipe out a certain proportion or type of human on the earth, there's no way they would have done that unless they had the antidote if for some reason one of their own somehow caught that disease. You don't release a disease to wipe out your enemy unless you have the antidote. So yes, there is an antidote, but only the smallest group of people have access to it because it's, from their point of view, priceless, money-wise. You know, if you, excuse me, if you went to an art auction and there was a Rembrandt painting and it might be $50 million, supposing somebody stood up and lot number 58 is the cure for cancer. Can you imagine the bids for that? Can you imagine what would happen? All the people who, like ourselves, who don't have those sorts of amounts of money saying, well, hang on, why have they got it? Why can't we have it? So that's why they don't advertise it. That's why they don't even hint at it. That's why they don't say such and such got cancer, but hey, they've been cured. They won't do it. This is one of the many, one of the things that has to change. This is one of the key proofs that the elite have a different lifestyle. You know, you have first class carriages on trains in Britain, and they are called second class. It's called standard, but I remember when it was second class, and my families would remember when there was a third class. Why is it when you go to the cinema or the theatre, there are seats of different prices depending on how good the vision is? than the football match. Why, if all humans are equal, do that? You know, why do that? It's like, I want to go on holiday in January. Oh, you can get the holiday for £100. I want to go on the same holiday in high season. Oh, that's £500. And I always say, but is the bed different? Is the sheets different? Ah, has the view from the window changed? No, it's because everyone's on holiday, and so you can charge more. So humans are not treated equally, and we see that in all walk of life, and yet they lie to us, and they try to hide the fact that it's a free society and that we're all equal and we're all taken very seriously. We're not. That is why, at the moment, under the present system, no royal person, no hugely influential person will die of any disease. The only thing that kills them is old age. Now, you know, we had a Rockefeller last year, wasn't it last year or the year before, who died at age 101. Yeah, after 3 heart transplants. Okay, you might be in the prime of health at 30 years old and you, for some reason, need a heart transplant. You try and get a heart transplant. Mr. Rockefeller was 100 and got a heart transplant at the age of 100. Now, you could say, well, you had the money. That's not my point. Where's the equality and all that? How can you turn around to a man who's going to die within months and say, yeah, okay, we'll give you a heart, but turn around to someone who's got a 6-month-old baby or a 2-year-old baby and say, well, you know, you can't afford the medicine, or we don't have the machine for that. But if you go 1,000 miles, fly over here or fly over there, they might help you. And you have these heartbreaking cases where parents have to go and beg and raise money online to send their children to these clinics, where invariably their kids are cured. So this is the problem. It's one of the key things that Connecting Consciousness, I want to challenge and to deal with this. It is not right that human beings are segregated. You know, you might as well put a badge on you saying first class citizen, second class citizen, third class citizen. They do it unofficially by saying, what job do you have? How much money do you earn? What clothes do you wear? What colour's your skin? What does your voice, your accent sound like? What does your father do for a living? Or what did he do for a living? And that's the segregation. My friend, who I've known for a long time, won a scholarship to go to Oxford, very special school in Britain, for those who don't know, Oxford and Cambridge boat races. And you have a first day. And you go in and you meet people and you have drinks and, you know, you meet the dons, the Oxford dons. And he said that he'd won a scholarship, you see. So he got it through ability, not because his parents had a lot of money. He was just brilliant academic. And he said the only question that anybody wanted to know was, what was his father? And when he actually told them his father was a milkman, a guy who delivered milk to people's doorsteps, he said, not a single one of them ever spoke to him for all the time he was there, simply because he wasn't of any help to them. They were lawyers, doctors, politicians, senior people in banking. And so you want to make friends with those because they might be helpful to you, but a milkman. So if kids, no matter how their age range or how elite they are, if this system is actively programming people, then we shouldn't be surprised when certain true cures are only available to certain people. And when the revolution comes, these are one of the things that has to be changed. That's a good question. Thank you.
Was indeed. Thank you. Let us now go to the recent past. In your recent talk in Dartington Great Hall, you referenced that the unawake are in for a mighty shock that may bring them into a fetal position when the topics that are discussed on your show and others are finally talked about openly. For whatever reason, I was fortunate enough to awaken a few years ago, and although I have a lot to learn, how can I and other awake people be of service to those that are about to be woken up? Thank you for your service to humanity. Emerald Art.
Thank you for that. Thank you for listening to the Dartington talk. You know, that was literally less than a week before Christmas, and I knew I had to do it. I knew it had to do that. it's very difficult to do it now because the system is actively pushing back against the mass of human consciousness that wants the truth. And not everybody wants to be in the forefront with the piece of wood trying to knock the door in. But when, and it will, certain truths are released, it won't be, to be honest with you all, it won't be the person who says, oh, I'm so shocked that there are aliens, or, oh, I'm so shocked that this person has been murdering people or abusing children. It will come about because they will say, why did I never see this? How come I never spotted it? Why did I not understand what was happening? What is wrong with me? And it's the combination of feeling made a fool of, believing in the establishment, whether that's your major news channels and your newspapers, and just the way it is on this planet, and realizing that it was all a con, all a joke, all part of the great game of trickery, and you didn't see the truth. It's that what they see as taking their world away from them, because most of these people do not exist within themselves. They only exist with the interaction of the physical world. So if you were to take these people and put them on a desert island, a vast majority of them would be dead within a very short period of time. Not because they necessarily can't whittle sticks and live in a mud hut, but because they are incapable of maintaining themselves in a world without technologies that's designed to feed them. And so people, when I use the term into the fetal position, because their vision will be, I don't want to hear anymore. I can't face it. I don't want to face myself. I want to go into a little ball in the corner of the room, turn the lights out, wake me up when it's all over, please. And your question is good, because it's a question about service to others and not service to self. When this happens, you won't have to go very far out of your door to find this. You'll find it in the street, in the shops. People will be around in a daze. The papers will just be full of it. It'll be all that's been talked about. And people will want reassurance and they'll want answers. Now, you may not be able to give them the answers, but what you have done, my friend, is that you have woken up, and you woke up over a period of weeks, months and years. These people, when they get the shock, they got minutes to wake up in. So think about all the pressures that you went through, learning and being shocked about 9/11 and shocked about this and shocked about that. These people have got to cram all of that into just a few hours. So they're not going to be given the privilege of gently, over a period of time, questioning themselves, doing all that work. They are going to be totally shocked. So your job, I think, is when you meet people, you can do that. You can start up a support group. There's so much stuff you can do. And when this happens, they will be banging your door down, wanting that help. What humans need is when this occurs, is a period of stability. My concern is that when we get the void, I call it the void, something negative could come in. While the human consciousness is being shocked and is rocked back on its heels, something can come into the void, whether that's a pretend second coming, you know, the Messiah is arrived, or Jesus has come back to us, but really it's something AI. So we need to get in and we need to support people. And we used to say, look, it's not about you being a fool. It's not about you being stupid. It's about the system manipulating you, and you've found out now. And so your life isn't wasted. You're living. You know, you may have children. You have done this. You've done that. It's not wasted. You've woken up to a lie, just like we all did. Okay, you're behind us, but, you know, we all went through this. I will support you and help you. And, you know, I want you to get back on and get in there. And don't let these people affect you. That's what you have to do. You have to support people if you have the capability to do that. Really good question. Thank you.
Okay, now here's an interesting question. Well, it's one of my little interests here. My question is, a while back you said that when Trump wears a red tie during public events, it's really him, and the blue tie means it's not him. Now, I don't remember, I've said that, but have you said that?
No,
he's not said that. No. So we'll not go into that because.
Well, I'll tell you what we can do. Yeah. What we can do is I can give you something a bit more interesting. All presidents wear a badge on their lapel.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a bit of a clue here. When the one of the I can't use the word dummy because in America it means something completely different from what we use it for here. When one of the stand-ins. Wears the badge slightly differently. There's your clue. So it's to do with a badge. All American presidents wear a badge on their lapel, generally, and it's the positioning of the badge that gives the game away, if you know what you're looking for.
Okay. Okay. But if you look at this, so he's going on about this, and let's just as if, you know, one or the other, right? It doesn't matter.
Okay.
All right. So his State of the Union address was way too calm and well-read for Trump. Usually he'll throw in his own opinion and mannerisms, but the Trump that gave the speech looks like he was focused on the speech and not putting in his own two cents every other minute. The real Trump doesn't care what he says and will say what he wants when he wants. This Trump just read the speech and had no Trump-style comments. I was wondering if you can tell us if that was the real Trump or a double gave the speech.
Brilliant question. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sir Simon, for risking your life to save ours. But, lots of people call you Sir Simon.
Well, first of all, thank you. That is a really kind thing to say. I think that the human race is worth saving. I think the human race has done everything it can and proven itself. Goodness knows the adversity that it's been thrown at. And there are many people on the planet who put themselves out to help others because they have to. We just have to do this. I couldn't imagine doing anything else other than this. Right, let's take that question because actually it's interesting. Right, the State of the Union address is one of the key non-political stroke political speeches that a president will make. It's probably one of the most well thought out speeches, and everyone listens to the State of the Union address, particularly business people wanting to hear how it's predicted the US will go. Such a speech cannot become a political game show. It can't be full of throwaway comments. It's got to be delivered. It's in Great Britain, we have what we call the Lord Mayor's Banquet, where the Prime Minister, it's exactly the same thing. The Prime Minister goes to a building and gives a speech. And generally, it's a very bland, sometimes the Chancellor of the Exchequer does it. It's a very bland, even speech. So all I would just say to you is that he knew that State of the Union addresses and certain other speeches, he cannot, he's not on the stump, as we say in Britain. He's not campaigning. He's not trying to win votes. He's trying to keep the stability there. So don't be surprised. He's a showman. He's clever. That was him, but he was giving it a very polished performance. Now then, the color of the ties is interesting. It doesn't mean, that there's a double because that would be easily to discern. And if you're going to shoot someone, you'd say, right, shoot the man in the red tie. They have to be much more clever than that. No, it's to do with how you you affect people. Remember that the colours blue and red have great significance to the US. In Great Britain, they have great significance because red is the colour of the Labour Party, blue is the colour of the Conservative Party. Now, both political parties in Great Britain went through a phase where they would wear the opposition's ties just to cause aggravation. So sometimes politicians will wear things just to cause aggravation. Margaret Thatcher, when she was organising a conference, party conference, as a conservative British prime minister back in the 80s, she was horrified when she went into the conference dining room to find all the napkins serviettes were red and immediately ordered them to be replaced with blue serviettes. And yet many years later, there were conservative politicians deliberately wearing red ties. So don't get caught into that. That's too obvious, too in your face. Such very important markers can be done more subtly. Now, let's take it to President Putin. Putin has doubles and they have no marking indication at all. Nothing. They don't carry anything that would alert the man. Even Putin's second tier bodyguards, not the first tier, the second tier bodyguards and beyond, do not know when a double is being substituted, and they don't know the real one. So, you know, that is a good question, but it's got to be a bit more complex than that. So thank you.
Thanks, Simon. Moving on to something very much more serious. Fukushima. Is the radiation, this is from Rosamond, is the radiation from Fukushima real and long-lasting? I've heard some say that it has been neutralized and is mostly propaganda.
It's real. It is long-lasting, but it's not going to kill us all off. It was designed potentially to do just that. We're very fortunate something interceded and prevented a tragedy becoming a total disaster. Certainly it's a tragedy for much of the ocean. It's a tragedy for people on some parts of the west coast of America. And along, it's destroyed some of the fishing industry. It's destroyed a lot of people making a living from the seafood. It's done irreparable harm to the food chain, to the animals that live there, and ultimately, it has done harm to humans. Humans are amazing creatures. They can take quite a lot of radiation, believe it or not, before they begin to show signs. Many years ago, there was a power plant at Chernobyl, which blew up in Russia, and the number of deformed babies, not so much now, but the number of deformed babies in the 20 years afterwards was heartbreaking, terrible. So there are effects from it. The positive story I would take from this is that this was a deliberate attempt to do two things. One was to put Japan under the ocean like Atlantis. No question about that at all. Completely remove Japan so it would go under the water. And secondly, to create such a cataclysm that a large proportion of the planet would be imperiled. That wasn't allowed to occur. So free will, they were allowed to do what they were wanting to do, but they were not allowed to wipe the planet out. As I've often said, if you had millions of years of investment in a planet, and I know it's hard to understand, but there are organizations that invest in this planet in one way or another, they're not about to let the local inhabitants wipe themselves out. It's like Planet X. Not about to let a large asteroid wipe out the planet. When the asteroid struck Earth 66 and a half million years ago, there weren't humans as we understand it. So there wasn't a great value on the planet. Now there are. So I don't foresee any tragedies that will destroy the planet, but I do foresee problems where totally insane, that's the only word I can think for it, totally insane people want to cause more and more problems. So they will still be there, and they will still attempt to do that. And there are some really good guys in the intelligence services of many countries who work tirelessly to prevent these people. And in the cases when these bad guys get through, something else off planet intervenes. Because to be honest with you, if we would already all be dead by now, had we not got this help, this level of support, and there is source, there is God. And, you know, yes, source believes in free will, but if source was faced with one individual who had this crazy plan, let's just say, to drill a hole to the center of the Earth and drop a bomb in and smash the Earth completely and kill everything on the planet, don't you think source would take that one person out rather than risk everything else? So we do have help, but we just mustn't take it for granted. We must do everything that we can, whatever that may be, to show our support and to fight against the things that are satanic, basically. Good question. Thank you.
So, for from N.A. McCaw. Tell us more about the 13th D. Simon, JP, thank you so much for your show. You make us all strive to be a better version of ourselves. Simon, a few shows back, you stated the 13th dimension is in the process of being created. Wow. Why is it being created? What were the thoughts around this subject? Who decided to create it and who is creating it? Is this impacting humans, our DNA, our Earth? Basically, tell us all you know. And I know you don't like being bombarded, but, yeah, what's the deal with 13D, Simon?
Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for your kind words. We would be very foolish if we assumed that only humans evolved. Let's just assume that's the case. And we, over time, move through the fourth dimension and reside in the fifth. And then goodness knows how many years later we go to the sixth and so on. Well, if a dimension holds at 12 or 13 or 15 or 16, doesn't matter, what happens when we reach the top? It's going to be like lots of trains all pulling into a station. Because over time, those beings that have passed the test, for want of a better word, will all be knocking on the door and saying, well, where is there now? Have we achieved enlightenment? Have we achieved the top of the mountain? Where do we go now? Where do we strive for? And in the same way that the planets evolve and humans evolve, so the dimensions evolve. As consciousness of all the living creatures that are good, because that's why they're advancing, evil creatures don't advance, they stay put. That's the rule of the universe, you know. As we all advancing, what the great creator does is say, right, okay, well, there's a movement here. We now need to create another dimension. You see, within a dimension, there are many sub-dimensions. But I only ever talk about the dimensions because that is how we're moving forward. There are side doors off each dimension. But I'm not interested in those side doors. I want the quick route. I want the route for humanity. I don't want to get caught up in any of that. I want to get forward. So as we evolve, so the great creator adds another dimension. So at the moment, there are 12 official dimensions. There's a 13th that is being got ready. If you want to talk about sub-dimensions up to the 27th and the 30th, and I'm quite happy to go and accept that, but I'm talking about the main dimensions that we can exist in as a race, as a consciousness, as a peoples. And that is the marker. And for as long as we know, it's always been 12 dimensions. And here we have evidence on this planet. You know, why have we created 12 months of a year? Why do our analog clocks run up to 12? You know, why in our old system, our old counting system, did our rulers have 12 inches? When, if you think early humans were evolving, they would look at their hand and see 5 on one hand and 5 on the other. This is a decimal system. 5 and 5 is 10, which is the system that all of Europe has. It's decimal, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Why didn't early humans say, oh, I've got 5 on my right hand and 5 on my left hand. I will count in units of 5 or 10. That's perfectly what you'd think. But no, we didn't. We counted in 3, 6, 9, 12, etc. We did that because that was given to us by an alien race that believed that 12 was the special number because there were 12 dimensions, and there have been 12 dimensions for millions of years. But all of consciousness, not just on this planet, all of consciousness is now being shoved along, and it's necessary now for Source to provide another room on the apartment to take the overspilling. Don't get dimensions mixed up with strands of DNA. They're different. That's a good question. I hope my answer goes some way to giving you some help. Thank you.
Fabulous. So now, there's a few, right. What I like is, both I and Simon like kind of short and, single questions. So now this actually comes, around to what you were just talking about. This is from Ashley. Good day, Simon and JP. Thank you both for your work from the bottom of my heart. My question is there an accurate calendar for Earth that currently exists? If so, what is it or where can it be found? I mean, I suppose I'm not going to interpret. Is there an accurate calendar for Earth?
No, there isn't, because different races, different cultures will use the technology that they have available at the time. They will also use the religion that they have and the culture that they have to skew or alter it. Now, an alien coming to this planet will look at time in a completely different way, and he or she will create a calendar that measures energies in a way that on this planet we're not taught and we don't understand. So the Mayan calendar never talked about the earth ending, but so many people either ingenuously or disingenuously chose to interpret that as the end of days, when in effect those of us who were doing looking into it understood that it meant the old ways will finish and the new way will begin. Now that's a calendar, but it was a calendar that was designed to enlighten a group of people who are remarkably different from now. And in 1,000 years time, there'll be a different sort of calendar here. If the person is asking, is there a document or a device that will see the future? That's a different question. The answer is yes. But the human race does not have an accurate calendar. I have been just chatting with someone recently that human consciousness of all the living creatures that I've encountered is the most unpredictable. And that's both a weakness and a strength. And it's very difficult for artificial intelligence to predict what humans will do. And thank goodness. So artificial intelligence can be 97% accurate what humans will do within 6 months. But when you extend that beyond 6 months, that percentage of success drops right down. And when you get something like 5 or 10 years in the future, you're looking at 3%. And that is why that it's DNA in people that can be utilized to foresee the future far more accurately than any machine or computer. So astrology is a good one. That's a calendar. And I've talked on the show before that I absolutely believe there are individuals on this planet that have the capability to use astrology to foresee future events and to predict things about people. And that's a form of a calendar, and that can be predicted. And Nostradamus was creating a form of a calendar. But no, there is no one, to my knowledge, there's no one document I can put my hand on and say, this is the calendar for all of the Earth. And as long as we've got religions on this planet, then, you know, all calendars are altered. I mean, the Jewish calendar is different. The Muslim calendar is different. They start with different dates. There's the Easter calendar. You know, so no, it's not worth it. Good question. Thank you.
Okay. So following on from the calendar from Fran, very difficult energy recently. The last few weeks have been like an MGA attack. I don't know what that means, with attacks from forces making life so very hard. Is it just me or is something going on? Yeah. Things have been really difficult recently. I can't, you know, it's like trying to go through barbed wire and fire or something.
The best way I think I would describe this is that the evil forces, if you have a castle and you've locked all the doors and windows, and then the bad guy goes around and rattles the windows and he goes right around the building trying the doors, trying the windows and all of this. And that's what the dark energies do. They attempt all the different ways to get at people. And if there's a lot of primitive energy, and that could be satanic energy or energy that's linked in with sacrifices, then they have a boost of power. And at the moment on this planet, we're seeing a lot of people who either demonically possessed or fractured in some way, not trying to heal these people who are hell-bent on whatever. These people are being manipulated. And for good people, there's a lot like wading through treacle or molasses. So there's a lot of attacks at the moment. There's a lot of destabilizing energy. But like everything, it swings and roundabouts. And, you know, the energies change and move. If we were not ascending, if this planet was not moving forward, we would not have these attacks. These attacks are the outpourings of a deranged consciousness that is against evolution. Because evolution means advancement. And when a person or a group of people advance, they gain something. They gain, and we're not talking money, we're gaining experience and knowledge. It's a bit like climbing a mountain. The higher up the mountain you climb, the further over the horizon you see. And the more tricks you can spot, and the more booby traps. And that's what's happening. Because the human race is advancing, everything and anything is being thrown at us. And it's just the way it is. It's par for the course. These evil guys don't give up. Because what's on offer isn't any good for them. Peace, love, genuineness is not something that they can survive on. It's not what they were brought up to believe in. It's not what they can exist on. To them, it's death. If you said to somebody, you know, you want equality and you want love and you want everyone to have access to a house and not have to pay for the heating, not have to pay for the drinking water, not have to pay for basic things, they would be horrified because they would say, well, how am I going to make my money? How are my corporations going to survive? So they will attack and they will do what they can do because to them there's no alternative. They do not accept the path that the enlightened people are taking. They're absolutely against it because it's a world that they're frightened of and it's all about fear. And the sad thing is that actually these people could have a role to play for good if only they would be brave enough to throw off their conditioning and to look inside themselves and say, all right, I've got 5 billion. How about I support this or how about I support that? Do something positive with it. But unfortunately, the spell of Babylon is very strong. Thank you. Good question.
The old empire. Okay. Question about fairies. I feel very connected to the fairy realm. Will there be a time when they return to the earth? Are they second dimensional beings? What is their connection to the jinn? Fairies.
Right, they've never left the earth. Let's make that absolutely clear. They have not gone. They're real. They are I call them elementals. I think that's probably the right term for them because they are connected to the elements of the earth. Wind, earth and fire. And the elements, that exist are there. They're originally there to protect and now they sort of hold the space for sacred places or they fine tune. You know, when you have a piano and it goes out of tune, you go and get, and if you're lucky, you get a blind man or woman. Apparently, because their ears are really good. But anyway, you get someone in to come and tune your piano for you. Well, that's what the elementals do. They fine-tune certain places on the planet. There's like a, metaphorically speaking, there's a dial, and they turn it, and they think, oh, you're a little bit out here, so we'll just put that bit in there, and then 70 miles down the road, they turn the dial the other way. So these elementals are not just fairy folk. They are other creatures. They can be as small as 3 inches. They can be taller. They can actually appear as animals, but they generally appear as very slender, thin, elfin-like creatures. That is why our folklore in the Western world, not exclusively, but mainly in the Western world, is full of these creatures. That is why so many cartoons have been made of them, and so many storybooks, children's books. Sadly, scientific world won't accept it. Although many scientists know it's true, They won't accept it because, again, of the questions. Right, dimensions. It's a critical one, this, because these elementals are here to work with the planet, so they can't be fourth dimensional. What they are is they are just out of phase. They can exist in the third dimension, but they can just move out of the third into the fourth to become invisible, but not right into the fourth, because they are created for the Earth. So they are third stroke 3.3, 3.4. They're just slightly out of phase for it. Their connection to Jinn is zero. They have no connection to Jinn. Jinn are demons, come from a demonic fourth dimensional realm. These elementals are pure, uncorrupted, and are just a service for good, service to the planet and the creatures of the planet. They can move like a jinn, and that's where, quite understandably, people have got confused. Think about Peter Pan and the cartoon Peter Pan, Tinkerbell. It's fairly well known that Mr. Walt Disney was very involved with Satanism. And Tinkerbell is a jinn. It's a personification of a demon, but of course she's shown as a cute little girl with wings. And you can get many tattoos or, you know, things with a sort of a Tinkerbell-like character. But that was Mr. Disney having a bit of a joke about jinn that is not to be confused with an elemental. They are diametrically opposed. I'll tell you what's interesting. You have a standing stone, which was originally neither good nor bad, but sort of monumented where some people have been killed. The fourth dimensional evil energy gets into it because there's been death in that area. The stone then can become negatively charged. But around the corner, you might have a very sacred site. So you've got demonic energy one part, and you've got this beautiful elemental energy on the other. And this is what they call the war between light and dark, between good and evil. And I'm obviously looking forward to a day when all of this evil is wiped off the face of the earth. All of this has got to be cleansed, because it's not natural to the earth. The earth wasn't born with fourth dimensional evil. This was brought here. It was transported. Some stuff that came here was good, like we've talked about dolphins, porpoises. That's a good thing. But bringing this heavy, dense, dark energy here so that black magicians could meld it and do things with it, that's not good. So we need a complete cleansing of the planet. Oh yeah, thanks for the question.
Excellent. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
All right. Sorry, my radio headphones have gone out of sync or something. Hang on. Swap headphones.
Okay.
I think the battery's gone for that's better. Yes. So, in the last few minutes, let's see if there's a short question. Well, the Dutch banker, do you remember this, did you ever see the video?
Died.
Yes. And he was a whistleblower. So, what's your take on him?
Genuine. Absolutely genuine. I still don't know to this day what made him come forward and say what he did. Well, for those who don't know, and heck, we've only got a few minutes, but basically certain industries on this planet have been infected by the highest evil that there is. And in the bad old days, you used to control people purely physically. The last 15 years has seen mind control come in more from an electronic version. But in the bad old days, you used to have to do a whole range of physical stuff to get these top end people to do what you wanted. So it was everything from blackmail, right through to abuse as a child, et cetera, et cetera. So when people talk about what's happened to them, I believe it. Because what the system can't have is key people in high positions turning against the system. If you don't let a president become president unless you have chosen that president, then you're certainly not going to let a venture capitalist or a trader in the banking world loose with many, many, many millions of pounds or dollars of corporations' money. Because that person could ask questions, could do this, could do that. So one of the best ways in those, in their view, in those days, was to physically abuse somebody, or blackmail them, drug them and blackmail them, so that they were always a servant of that organization. So in his case, I believe him 100%. Very sadly, his case is quite common. The days when it was just the intelligence network or the military or black ops, the deep state who had this technology and used it, those are well gone. Corporations use them, the entertainment industry, the politicians, the military less so, but it's widely used, either to control somebody or, well, it is to control them, but either to control them so that they don't make decisions that will affect you negatively, or you are controlling them because they are making you money because they perform on stage. The number of stage artists who have reached a certain point in their life and throw off the conditioning and then strangely die. You know, Michael Jackson, for instance, and many others in history. This is one of the things I said will make people crawl up into a fetal position to understand the horrors that some people are put through. And I'm at 2 minutes to the end of the show. I'm not going to end on a negative note. So the bravery of that man in coming forward, I'm sure, confirmed to others what had happened to him, happened to them. And strength is in numbers. And, you know, we can overcome this fourth dimensional satanic energy. It doesn't belong here. And the people who practice it and wield it, they don't belong here either. You know, so I'm willing to give people the chance to conform and to change to a much higher vibration. But ultimately, if they don't, you'd have to ask the question, is there room for them on a planet that's definitely going in the right direction? And that's something that only the human race will decide. So, yeah, thank you. Good question.
And I think that's about it for this fortnight. Have a great couple of weeks, and I'll see you on the next show.
See you then. Take care.